All right, all right, all right. It's your favorite sisters.
Why don't you sing me a birthday song?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Is this awkward for you?
Not at all.
Happy birthday, dear Manya. Happy birthday to you.
Wow, I actually like when people sing happy birthday to me.
Really? I really don't.
I like attention.
I like attention too, but I feel like when people, especially strangers, sing happy birthday to me, I feel really awkward.
But it's so precious that human beings get united by something as simple as a birthday song.
Hi, hello. Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women, though all self-lovers are welcome here. I'm Mary. I write and speak about self-love, and I'm best known for my book, The Gift of Self-Love, and I also host retreats for women. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself.
Hey, sister. Thanks for joining me on my birthday episode. I thought it would be fun to do like a 28 things I wish I knew at 18, since I am turning 28 and you are going to be turning 18 later this year.
Wow.
It's kind of a version of my golden birthday. Like, I'm turning 28 on 2/8.
Oh, no, I think that's called the diamond birthday, actually. Or wait, maybe that's by the year. Because maybe your diamond birthday would be when you turn 98.
Well, can't wait to look forward to that. On my actual golden birthday, like when I turned 8 on February 8th, I was grounded.
Why?
I did something really bad.
What?
I was 8. I didn't know better.
That's not explaining what.
I guess I could always cut this out if I don't want it in later. But I called CPS on mom and lied to them. The only reason I feel brave enough sharing that is because, do you know who Marcelo Hernandez is?
No, I don't.
The Cuban comedian, the one who did Domingo with Sabrina Carpenter and Ariana Grande.
I do know that.
Okay.
I know that.
So he's a comedian, right? And he had this whole bit in his recent Netflix special about calling CPS on his mom. And I was like, oh my God, I thought that was like a unique niche experience that only I did and got punished for.
I want to know why you called CPS on mom.
Long story short, I got manipulated by one of my dad's uber religious friends, and he said that the only way I could see my dad and live with my dad, which I wanted to do when I was 8, is by telling them this. And so then they came to my school and interviewed me, knew immediately that I was lying.
And on your birthday?
Well, this was right before my birthday.
Oh, and you were so grounded on your birthday.
I was grounded on my birthday, yeah.
Wow.
That was like a very intense life experience for me.
What did I do on my 8th birthday? Probably stuck like a crayon up my nose or something. Something stupid like that.
I think we just got to start over the podcast. Sorry.
I thought that was fun, but...
Really? It feels like too intense, too
okay,
personal.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Especially at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm turning 28 in like a day. And I thought it would be fun to impart some wisdom that I wish I knew when I was 18. Because you're going to be turning 18 this year. And I don't know. Felt like a cute idea.
I like the idea. I want to hear your wisdom.
You want to hear my wisdom?
Well, absolutely.
You're only saying this because we are on air.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if I sat you down
and you're like, okay, here are 28 things you need to do. This don't ever
put soap in your vagina.
I don't think I've ever done that, actually.
Good. I used to.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not healthy. It disrupts your pH. That's not one of my things, but just as an aside.
29 things. Wow. Perfect.
Don't put stuff in your vagina that is scented. Speaking of that, this is not one of my things, but it should be. Mm-hmm. I think there is such a thing as being allergic to certain people's penises.
Wow. I'm not sure how to respond to that.
Okay. I'll let you noodle on that one.
For those who don't know, my sister thinks "let's noodle on this" is an actual expression that people use when I personally believe we don't use that expression. I've never heard anyone besides my sister say that.
noodle on it.
To noodle on something? I've noodle heard ponder on something.
Ponder, exactly. See?
Ponder and noodle.
You used noodle context clues to decipher. Yeah,
but saying noodle on something isn't okay. A direct quote that people say in their day-to-day life.
It's a thing, I swear. It's not. My friend Stephanie, who plans my retreats, like she's the event planner for my retreats, she says it.
To noodle on something.
Yeah, and she's cool and from New York. And I think she's like 39, so... She has even 10 more years of wisdom on me and 20 on you. So noodle is a phrase.
I think I disagree.
Okay.
And we'll leave it at that.
And we're going to leave it on if you feel like you're getting weird symptoms from somebody's penis, stop whatever you're doing.
Yep.
All right.
Next.
Now we're going to lock in 28 things I wish I knew when I was 18. Number one, most mistakes get made after midnight.
You mean like with dudes? Is that what you're implying?
Everything. Nothing really good happens after midnight.
Really? So what would you do on like a New Year's situation? Do you not go out on New Year's?
Well, I'm not saying don't make mistakes. I'm just saying like keep in mind that usually after midnight is when things, decisions, choices get a little questionable. Something happens in the air, like that's when the demons come out.
I think that's 3 a.m.
which is after midnight.
This is true.
Yes.
You did get me on that one.
Okay. Do you beg to differ?
I think I'll agree with you. I feel like I've made some mistakes after midnight. Not in like a freaky way. Not like that you know of.
Okay. Okay. Okay, this is related. Everything feels more dramatic in the dark. Maybe that's why most mistakes happen after midnight. But if you're sad, you're going to feel sadder in the dark.
This is true.
You know?
I can preach to that. When I'm up on TikTok scrolling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when you have like a middle of the night cry and then you wake up the next morning, you're like, what was I even crying about?
Like you wake up and you see that your face is all puffy and your eyes are all crusty and you're like, I look flipping stupid.
Do you ever like go to the mirror and make eye contact with yourself while you're crying? Yeah. Isn't that like just the most pathetic moment? You know how many
pictures of myself I have in my camera roll where I'm like mid-cry and then I stop and I go to bed?
No, don't be mean to yourself. But yeah, that moment where you lock eyes with yourself, yeah. That's when you realize you're like, okay, this is stupid.
Because, well, okay, I'll only say I'm stupid if I'm crying over something stupid. Like a boy?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Don't.
If I'm crying over like somebody took my leftovers in the fridge, yeah, that's something valid to cry about.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
In which case you should cry and make it everybody else's problem.
Exactly.
Number next. The best, you already know this one because I imparted this wisdom on you when you were like 10. The best lip color is the shade of your nipple.
Why do I feel like I don't remember you saying that?
Well, here's your reminder. The best lip color is the shade of your nipple. That is a hill I will die on. I learned that on TikTok in the middle of the pandemic. It was when we were all stir crazy and just like talking about weird things like that. But I'm telling you that once I realized that and I started buying like nude, mauve-y, purpley, now you're I'm just describing to them. I swear it just makes my makeup look so much more.
Continue.
I swear it just makes my makeup look so much more natural. Like it fits my face. Also, these are not my opinions. These are facts.
Okay.
I just want to put that out there.
Because this is your birthday podcast, I'll let you be right.
Okay, number four. Most people exaggerate everything. Like if somebody is talking about their accomplishments, like bragging, they're exaggerating. If somebody's talking about something that happened to them, whether it's good, bad, positive, negative, usually people are embellishing the story to make themselves seem either like more of a hero or more of a victim than they actually are.
You know, now that I'm thinking about that, I think I do the same thing.
Yeah, same.
I really do.
No, 100% same here. Okay, number five. You heard me say this on the last podcast we did together. Embarrassment is a choice.
I agree.
That's a good one, right?
I would definitely agree with you on that one. I feel like I've already known that one, though.
So when somebody's singing to you on your birthday, it's a choice to feel awkward about it. You could just lean in. You could just embrace it. I swear, like, so many insecurities could be avoided if you just accept it, you know, just surrender to the experience and learn to enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's only awkward if you make it awkward.
That is true. You know, I'll take that one.
Okay, the next one I have is that most decisions are reversible.
Can you give me like a story?
I don't know if I have a story, but again, going back to the exaggeration piece, like our brains just exaggerate. So when you think like, oh, if I text somebody how I feel, then that's it. And like my life is gonna hinge on this specific moment. And when I say most decisions are reversible, I don't mean like, oh, you can always unsend the text. Like maybe you can't completely undo everything, but most decisions are reversible to me means that a lot of things are fixable. There are very few decisions that are truly irreversible. Very few decisions. And I wish I knew that earlier, because I guess I would have been bolder. There's always more plan B's and C's and D's than your brain likes to think. So when we're catastrophizing, it's important to just kind of like ground yourself and be like, oh no, like.
But also sometimes when you slip up and say something, people like capture that one little moment where you said something wrong and stop hearing where you reversed it to say something right. And they just keep focusing on that one little part of you trying to say something wrong.
I think it's more that you're focusing on that one little part. That is called spotlight syndrome. Mm-hmm. Like people truly are not thinking about you as much as we think they're thinking about us.
Yeah, I do see that the person who judges yourself the most is going to be yourself.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, do you want the next one?
Yes.
Stop saving your cute stuff for special occasions. You're good about this. But I was not at your age, especially growing up in kind of lower class, not as wealthy. It felt like everything had to just kind of be saved for that one special time. And a couple years ago, after I got married, I saved my wedding perfume and I put it in like a separate travel bottle because I was like, oh, the next time I'm going to wear this is going to be on my honeymoon, mm-hmm. which was many months later. So I tucked it away. I was like, can't wait for my honeymoon to wear my special perfume. And then I go to pack for the honeymoon and the perfume is gone.
Is it like evaporated or like the whole thing is like missing?
The liquid evaporated. And I didn't even know that was possible with perfume. I guess it's because I relocated it into a travel bottle, so it wasn't like airtight, like air sealed.
There,
yeah. And I was so sad because it was not cheap perfume and like genuinely loved it. And then I'm like, damn, like I could have been wearing it all these months. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that like thing you buy and you're like, oh, this is for a special occasion because I would never just wear this out on a normal day. Life is a special occasion. You know, like life is now.
Yeah. I like to definitely plan my outfits for school throughout the week. Like I know usually I go to school and then I go to work. But at work, I'm the classiest dressed one there, might I say.
But I think you could bust out your fabulous fur coat more often. I don't think I've seen you wear that once.
Well, because I haven't. Also, we do live in Arizona.
Yeah, that's true.
Which it is beginning of February right now. And yes, it is
82
almost
degrees.
85 degrees outside.
Yeah. Okay, well then I think this is your sign to plan a trip somewhere cold.
Yeah.
To wear your fur coat because life is now. Okay, next. The more honest you are, the less anxious you'll be.
Do you mean honest like with others?
Everything, like with yourself, with others. I don't even believe in white lies, to be honest with you.
To just like say everything up front.
Well, it doesn't mean you say everything on your mind at all times.
But if you're asked to say the truth.
Always say the truth. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That one has never led me astray. Next one is about men. Intensity is not the same thing as compatibility. Anxiety and excitement and like lust and like chemistry and butterflies and attraction. Like these are all kind of a big mixed pot of biochemical emotions where it's literally your body starting to get wired in a certain way around a certain person. And so chances are when a relationship is intense, it's usually like unhealed attachment styles from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I would almost argue that like safe, stable, boring love is the healthiest.
Hey, self-lover, sorry to interrupt, but do you have my self-love playlist? There's over 300, if not 400 songs on it that are so fun and uplifting and empowering, and I think will really be perfect for when you're getting ready, trying to hype yourself up, dealing with a bad body image day, or anytime you just want a little boost of self-love, these tracks will do it for you. So head to maryscupoftea.com/playlist to get it, and know that I am dancing and jamming with you from afar. Cheers.
So if you're attracted to the highs and lows, that's not love. That's literally a biochemical addiction. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I learned that one the hard way, because I remember one time when my ex and I were on and off so many times, and after I had actually moved out, like followed through and actually moved out, I came back to get the remainder of my stuff. Of course, when you're already moved out is when they're the nicest to you, right? They want you back, et cetera, et cetera. And so he was like, can I just have a hug? And I remember my body was just screaming. I wanted nothing more than that. And I leaned in for a hug and my whole nervous system just kind of like exhaled. And then we let go, and instantly he went back to saying stupid shit, and
he just needed the assurance,
being judgmental. Exactly. So I gave him like a little access to my body. And in that moment, I realized that it was like the attraction, or what was keeping me tied to him, the attachment. That's why it's called an attachment style. The attachment literally became a physical addiction because of his narcissism. And when you're in a relationship with a narcissist or somebody with narcissistic tendencies, they may not even know that they're doing it, but your physicality literally gets altered. Your brain chemistry becomes tied to this person. And I think that is very difficult to detangle and kind of decipher between, like, oh, do I actually care and love this person? And also, love isn't always enough. Like, you can care and love somebody and they might not be a good partner to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's actually like the biggest thing that I want to tell you.
Yeah. Like, love doesn't always need to be super intense all the time.
Exactly.
It means like being comforted.
So all in all, just stay away from like extreme.
Well, I mean, even in non-extreme cases, like, I feel like my acne is always the worst when I'm like talking to a dude. Is that crazy to say?
You feel like you break out when you're talking to a boy.
Yeah. I always have like some sort of like pimple texture, whatever, on my face, and it, you know, makes me insecure. But for some reason, it's only when I'm talking to a guy, because right now, like, my skin is like perfect and I'm doing fantastic.
That is tea. Oh, okay, this is a good one. This one came to me in the middle of the night and I had to write it down. No one is coming to save you. No one is coming to discover you. There's like, we hear these stories of like Justin Bieber got discovered on the streets of Toronto, and if only somebody could give me that kind of invitation or permission and were to take me under their wing and then show me the ropes, then I'll be successful.
Or like Pamela Anderson, like at the baseball game,
and she deserves that 100%. But like, you have to create those opportunities for yourself. Like, I always wanted to be a public speaker, and then I kept getting told that I was too young. You know, too young, too inexperienced. I kept hearing no's. I would pitch myself. And then I was like, okay, like, I'm just going to create my own stage. And that's how I started hosting retreats. Mm-hmm. So like, you do art. I mean, maybe somebody will discover you, but you can't sit around and like wait for them. If you want to be in a museum, like, open the damn museum.
Yeah. Reach out, or at least reach out to one.
At least.
I've now been in 3 official museums.
Way to go, sister. Yes. I think that realization that no one is coming to save you really lands in that moment where you look at yourself in the mirror while you're crying. You know what I mean? Like, in the middle of the night, all you got is yourself.
This is true.
The next one, humans are like big, beautiful onions.
That's not what I was expecting. Did you take that from Shrek?
No, is that in Shrek?
Yes.
No.
That's like, yes.
That's actually in Shrek?
Yes.
Maybe that
he
was
goes,
in
I'm my... like onion.
Oh.
He says he is an onion because he has layers.
Because he has layers.
Yes, was that your point?
That was my point. I thought it was an original thought, but I guess it was not. But I actually was inspired by this quote that I saw on Pinterest. It's by Kim Katrin. And she wrote, "I am not half Japanese and half Lithuanian Jewish. When I'm singing a Japanese folk song, I don't sing with half my voice, but with my whole voice. When I'm taping together my grandparents' Jewish marriage contract, worn by time but still resilient, it's not half of my heart that is moved, but my whole heart. I am complete and I embody layers of identities that belong together. I am made of layers, not fractions." Oh, I guess that's a quote from Yumi Tomsha, but then Kim Katrin put it. And then she added the line, "It's colonization that seeks to break us into pieces."
That draws back to another thing you told me a while ago about how colonization.
Everything is colonization. Everything is
colonization.
Yeah. Like if you ever feel a problem within yourself, you could probably trace it back to colonization. Or if you see a problem in the world, it's colonization.
True. True that.
Divide and conquer. That's what they want to do. Anyway, humans are like big, beautiful onions. Credit to Shrek.
And donkey.
And donkey, he said that too?
No, he just received it.
Oh, so I'm Shrek, you're donkey in this situation.
Well, yes.
Okay, number 12. A lot of times people think that boundaries are about saying the right thing until someone gets it, right? And then you start yelling and using force and you're like, just understand me and et cetera, et cetera. I believe, especially in romantic relationships, but any, you have to draw your boundary one time and then do not respond. And then if they keep doing that thing that you've politely asked them not to do,
they don't get the boundary.
They're done. I told Dolly this and she said she loved it so much that she wrote it down. I said, "I do not respond to behavior I don't want to enable."
I like that. I do like that. I need to know that.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the big things I'll take away from this.
Really? Okay, because with boys, right?
Yeah, with boys.
You told him, you're like, "I just want the date planned."
I did.
First of all, you shouldn't even have to say that.
I know. Bare freaking minimum.
Bare minimum. But also, if you said that once and they don't get it, they're done.
If I tell you flat out, exactly what I want,
mm-hmm.
exactly what you can do.
And you fail exactly to deliver.
What would make me happy. Even telling you my favorite flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And you still get me roses. That's a you problem.
What is your favorite flower?
Peonies.
Oh, okay.
Am I saying it right? Peonies? Peonies?
I don't know.
Mom says peonies.
No, but truly, I'm always telling you to just not respond.
Yeah, and I sometimes do it anyway, so I need to get better at that.
I mean, I've heard a lot of even people, parents, on parenting podcasts and stuff, the more attention you give something, right? The more that the toddler learns that oh, this is how I get attention. This is how I can get mom riled up. This is what kind of gives me some weird form of affection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the best thing to do, I don't know, I might put my foot in my mouth when I'm actually a parent, but the best thing to do is just don't pay any mind, any attention. The more you respond, the more you enable. So sometimes, a lot of the time, no response is the best response. Okay, number next. Pay attention to how men talk about their exes. It says so much about them.
Really?
Yes.
But if it, how does it show about them if they're talking about their exes?
So if a guy is like, "Oh my God, my ex is so crazy. They were so mean and da 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 da."
Does that show that they're crazy and mean?
Pretty much. Emotionally regulated people will be like, "Yeah, we weren't a good fit. It didn't end so well." They'll talk about their own feelings.
Yeah.
They'll be like, "I just didn't feel like it was going the right direction. We just wanted different things." That's how normal people talk about their exes.
Yeah. Okay.
Toxic people will say "Yeah, my ex is crazy and she did this and she did that and da-da-da."
Basically talk shit on them.
Talk shit on them.
To make themselves look better.
Exactly.
Picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. They don't take on any responsibility. They don't acknowledge their role. There's no respect. And especially in the hetero world, I just feel it shows misogyny when apparently every single ex of a guy's is crazy.
Yeah. Either you just have really bad taste or you're the problem.
Red flag. Platonic relationships are just as valuable as romantic ones, but you are so much better at this than I am.
I agree.
I wish I put the same, if not more, energy and effort into my girlfriends as I have into my romantic endeavors. Okay, number 15. If you want better body image, stop looking at yourself so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I needed to be told.
We just got to step away from the mirror and start living our lives.
Truth.
This is a good one. Think of 3 to 5 people that you spend the most time with.
3 to 5 people that I spend the most time with. I spend a lot of time with my coworkers. I can name specific ones because there are some that I hang out with outside of work. I've gone to car meets and car shows with some of them. I remember after a car show, it was like my first time hanging out with this one coworker, and we went and sat in McDonald's for 1.5 hours and just talked for 1.5 hours. It was so much fun. But I'd say those 2 people for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably my best friend who goes to another school, and then my parents because I live there.
Okay, so you are the average of those people.
I'm the average of those people.
Mm-hmm. Like if you were to put all those people together, put their personalities together.
Because I spend the most time with them.
Mm-hmm. Like you are the average of the 3 to 5 people you spend the most time with.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the people I spend my time with. So.
See, I'm glad to get this reaction from you because a lot of people are like, oh, shit.
Really?
Well, why
would you spend time with someone you don't like if you don't like their personality?
Well, sometimes people don't have a choice. Like, if they don't like their coworkers, but they have to stick with the job, or if they have to live with a roommate or parents or whoever, or sibling, and they don't like them, then I would invite that person to try to change their situation, how much time they're spending with it. But on the other hand, a lot of times people choose to spend time with low vibration individuals.
Dang.
And think that they're above them.
When in reality, they're just a collection of them.
Literally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of surround yourself with people who you want to be like.
Exactly. Because you're inevitably going to become like them. Like, you know, when you hang out with a friend for a few hours, you start acting like each other.
Yeah. I say the same words as them at the same time.
You start sending telepathic signals.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, like, make sure you like who you're around. And taking that one step further, because in this day and age, like, you become what you consume. So, social media, the podcasts you listen to, your environment, your food, like we are all kind of just like little aliens with antennas, and we're constantly absorbing like everything around us. And then we literally become that. So if you have a person that has a big influence on you and you don't like the way you're being influenced.
Gotta get away, girl.
Run. Okay. This one's short and sweet. You will never regret cooking yourself a meal, reading a book, or using protection.
Okay. I don't think I would either.
18. Stop putting polyester on your vagina.
Okay.
Okay. Materials are so important. Materials matter so much. You want to be wearing real cotton underwear or no underwear because I think that organ needs to breathe. But extending that, like I'm doing a few home renovation projects right now, and I'm trying to pick everything that is like real wood, real stone.
Mm-hmm.
Good materials of clothes like wool, cashmere, cotton, silk. Dress yourself and again your environment in like that high quality natural materials. You know, I have this back problem and I was researching best mattress pads because I thought, oh, I'll just spend $100 and get something on Amazon that's a little firmer for my back. I did ask ChatGPT like what mattress pad you recommend, and immediately ChatGPT was like, you need a latex mattress pad. So I start going down this rabbit hole of like what latex actually is, because I had the same reaction as
latex
you.
Latex is like gloves.
And I thought it was like condoms. But anyway, unless you have a latex allergy, basically I did so much research on latex mattress pads and they're like real from the earth. In case you didn't drop everything you're doing to research where latex comes from, here's a little summary. Natural latex is a milky white sap primarily harvested from the bark of the Para rubber tree. Sourced from Southeast Asia and Africa, it's collected by tapping, cutting a small spiral groove into the bark to allow the fluid to flow into collection cups, which is the same process that they use to get maple syrup from maple trees. So that's what I sleep on. Not maple syrup. Latex. In the form of a mattress pad, not a condom. Long story short, I was like, if I'm going to be sleeping on this thing for 9-10 hours a night, breathing in the stuff, the chemicals that it emits, like I'm going to spend the extra money to have
a good quality one.
Yeah. Next, whenever you're being hard on yourself or another woman, ask yourself if you would judge a man as harshly for the same thing.
T. I feel like we give men a lot more grace.
So much grace. you're probably going to end up with someone who's not your type. And that's a good thing.
See this? I don't know if I can. I have always gone for boys with glasses, boys who are dirty, and boys who are smart.
Boys who are dirty?
Nerdy.
Oh, I thought you said dirty.
No. Nerdy.
Glasses, nerdy.
I like boys with niche interests. Like, yes, I like a bass player. I like you if you read comics.
I hope you find that person. But when I was in third, fourth, fifth grade, all the way through like middle school, high school, I only dated blonde boys. And I thought like blonde was where it's at. But then I realized that that was just colonization.
Colonization.
No, but okay.
Crazy take.
No, not to be dramatic, but genuinely, like, I had this like kind of like shame around being Jewish and like darker featured and stuff. And I had this like infatuation with blonde boys. And then I got older and kind of started like accepting myself, embracing myself. And then I actually started liking all sorts of different ethnicities. Like, I've been around the world. And I think the reason why I put this in here, like, you're probably going to end up with somebody who's not your type, is because your type usually comes from, going back to that like attachment style, it usually comes from just like what you're kind of used to. But somebody who might be like, that you might fall in love with, could just be so much more different, so much different than what you thought.
Are you, when you mean someone who's not your type, are you talking about like looks wise? Because you're describing more like, you used to be into blonde boys, now you're into all of them.
Yeah, no, that was just an example. But I just mean like overall, like, you think you're going to marry a bass player. You might marry somebody who like can't dance or keep a rhythm for shit.
Sounds like my worst fear. Someone who can't dance. Money. You know, one of my New Year's resolutions is to dance more.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
My three New Year's resolutions is to watch more movies, to make bad decisions, and to dance more. There's my three resolutions.
Okay, wait. What's this bad decision thing about?
I feel like this year's kind of my last year to make bad decisions before it really matters.
You only have 4 more months of going to juvie instead of jail?
Exactly. I don't mean like I'm going to go do a bunch of illegal things. I mean, I've never been that type of person. But like, yeah, I'll talk to boys if I want to.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, like I said, most decisions are reversible.
Why not make them bad?
Yeah, make some bad ones. Maybe date outside your type. Honestly, my biggest fear is that you end up with someone who can't dance. That would be bad for the whole family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, literally, aside from dancing.
Yeah. You literally cannot be sad if you are dancing.
Absolutely. Or like, if you're humming.
Cannot. Or if you're humming. Like, you just can't. And I've noticed like such an increase in my mood. Just because like I'll sit in my car and I'll like start listening to music, start feeling a little sad. All of a sudden I just put on like LCD sound system, even though it's like a little bit, it can get a little sad with LCD sound system. But you know, usually it's pretty funky beats. And I just like start dancing. And then I look over to my left or my right, or I don't know, my right to my left. But I'll see the grandmother in the passenger seat on the other side. And she's just like smiling, watching me dance in my car.
Aw, I love that for you. Okay, groovy. Number 22, when in doubt, go outside. Like, it's kind of like dancing. Like, you will literally feel...
You're like a flower.
You'll feel less sad if you're outside. Even if it's, like, raining, it is better to be sad outside, or whatever you're feeling outside, or if you're stressed. Like, we should probably be recording this podcast outside.
Probably.
Yeah.
We've had a couple struggles with this one.
We've had a couple struggles. Okay. Did you know...
Did I?
Hold on. It's recently become known to me that... keeping your stomach sucked in at all times is actually bad for you.
Oh, it's awful for you.
I had no idea. Mom just told me.
Doesn't it like create like flared ribs, or like it messes up all the organs in your stomach and like the placement of them?
And like your pelvic floor. And I realized like so much of my back pain could be related to that. And my grandma told me to always suck in my stomach because she said it was better for posture, but I think it was just fat phobia. But she would be like, oh, it's better for your posture.
Wrong.
Or like your core, or you know, even in the fitness world they used to always say like
sucking in isn't the same as tensing.
Both though, you want your stomach to fully relax. You want to be able to like do ab exercises and contract, but like a healthy organ needs to be able to contract and relax.
Okay.
And like always unbutton your pants when you're driving. Like don't keep yourself in a tight restricted bra. Sleep naked if you can. Like let your body relax.
Yeah, fair.
Okay. Slay. Number 24. We're almost there. The hottest person in the room is always the person who is most relaxed.
I feel like you can tell a lot of from someone by their body language. Like the person who's tensed up in a ball. Like they're
if they're at a party and they're tensed up in a ball, they're probably not confident. And so with that, like you, if you want to feel more confident, like you just have to slow everything down.
True.
Like slow down your movement, slow down your speech, try to relax, let go of your stomach, and you literally instantly become more sexy. Like, look, if somebody's watching us on camera right now, I am magnetic.
Well, I feel polarized.
You feel polarized?
That was a magnet joke. I just don't know if I put it across correctly.
Oh my God. Once they hit me, I was like, that was genius.
Yes.
I thought you meant I feel polarized, like you disagree. I was like, oh no, she thinks I'm ugly.
No, quite the opposite.
All right, Slay. That is becoming my vocal tic.
Slay?
Yeah.
So we're back to what, 2021?
Yeah, we're back to 2021.
Oh God.
Denial is a river in Egypt.
Your husband is gay.
Is gay. Okay, let me ask you this. What were you most embarrassed about as a kid? It can be anything. Okay, you don't have to share. But whatever you were most embarrassed about as a kid, at some point in your 20s, is going to become the coolest part of your story.
Will you give us an example?
Okay, well, I used to never invite people over because I was always embarrassed of my culture and my mom being not from America and having an accent and my family situation. My dad was homeless, and like literally I can count on one hand the amount of people who have like met my parents because I was so embarrassed by them. And now I'm just like, I don't know if I can fully, I'm still learning this one, so I don't know if I can fully say like I'm proud of where I come from, but I do love the perspective it gives me, and I like that I had a different upbringing.
Makes you unique.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of mom, get to know your mom beyond her being just your mom. Mom and I were hiking the other day, and she was telling me all these stories about all these like men she could have married.
Oh my gosh.
She said that, okay, wait, I don't want to tell her story, but basically she had an opportunity to marry somebody who was like very bright, intelligent, had everything going for him, wanted to take her along with him. And she chickened out at the last minute.
Wow.
Because she was a little young. She was like 24, 25. Ooh. Yeah. Juicy stories.
Juicy. I didn't know that.
So it's cool thinking about mom before she was our mom and just like who she is outside of being our mom. Okay. Also, I know you know this. I hope I've told you this before, but I must repeat that food is your friend and nothing will heal your body better than eating consistently. And I don't just mean your body, but I mean like everything about it, like acne, mm-hmm. energy, mood, every single thing gets better when you eat consistently and your body trusts you to feed it consistently.
Fair takeaway. I agree.
Okay, last one. You ready for it?
Yes, ma'am.
The grand finale.
All right.
Let's hear it. Tea makes everything better. I think that's why I stuck with Mary's Cup of Tea over the years is because, again, going back to that culture piece, I would go over to my American friends' houses and like nobody drank tea. And then I would come home and we'd have tea 3 times a day. And then I got a little bit older, started living by myself, found myself making tea quite often. And it just made everything better all the time. I really love this. It's kind of like a little quote poem, but it doesn't have an author. It says, "The worst thing in the world can happen, but the next day the sun will come up. And you will eat your toast and you will drink your tea." And that's literally what I do every single morning, especially when I was recovering from an eating disorder. Like I ate toast every single morning. That was the one vow that I made to myself, that no matter how badly I binged the day before, I would always wake up in the morning and I would eat my toast and I would drink my tea. And it all turns out okay.
You know what's even better than making yourself tea? Making tea together.
Making tea together.
You can never have tea alone. Usually whenever we have tea, me and my sister, at least, I always say, well, you can never have tea alone. And I'm usually referring to wanting to have a sweet treat, wondering if maybe we have some cake, some chocolate, because I've got a huge sweet tooth. And one day, my lovely sister didn't have anything to have with our tea. So we didn't have chocolate. So I say, we can never have tea alone, waiting for something. But we can have it together, is how she responded to me. I was the tiniest bit disappointed.
But you settled for just having tea with your sister.
Together.
So now every single time I make tea, Alana will go, but we can't have tea alone. And I'll be like, we're not alone. We're having it together.
Perfect.
So I think this is a great note to farewell and go eat some birthday cake.
Well, absolutely. Happy birthday, Manya.
Thanks, sister.